The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spending a few minutes now with Villanova head football coach Mark Ferrante, his squad getting ready for the second round of the FCS playoffs. The Wildcats will go on the road, visit Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas on Saturday afternoon. And before we look ahead, coach, let's look back. First round against Eastern Kentucky. Thrilling win. Comes down to literally the last play when it looks like Eastern Kentucky might have scored a go-ahead touchdown. Kid didn't get a foot down inbounds. Your group came back from an early hole. What were your takeaways from a very, very thrilling and satisfying victory?
Yeah, it was a wild one for sure, Matt. We, unlike the week before versus Delaware, where we started out really fast and got up 21 points, this week they started fast due to an explosive 77-yard run on the second play from scrimmage of the game, and then a tipped pass by us that got intercepted at around our 24-yard line to give them a short field. We got in that 14-0 hole really quickly. And then our guys battled back. They had a bad snap in the end zone on a punt, and we got a safety out of it. So that kind of woke us up a little bit and gave us the spark, and we got to 14-9 at halftime. And then they got – I'm sorry, we got to 17-9 at halftime because they ended up with a field goal drive that we helped them get down the field with three penalties. We gave them 37 yards on that drive to get in field goal range. So they didn't earn it quite as much that time as they did the other two scores. But our guys stayed resilient, and that's kind of what we talk about all year. Some games we start ahead, and then it gets close, and we have to hang on till the end. And then this one here – started the opposite direction, like I said, of the Delaware game. We got ourselves in a hole and had to just keep biting and scratching and clawing to get ourselves out of the hole. And as you just mentioned, it came down literally to the final play of the game with 8 seconds left on the clock. They had the ball at the 10-yard line with no timeouts left. The quarterback broke contain. For a minute there, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to be able to run it in and beat us because they were down 5. Thankfully, we're up more than a field goal. Otherwise, they were well within field goal range because they have a pretty good kicker. But they threw the quarterback threw the ball up to a guy who was kind of along the back line of the end zone, only where he could catch it. He threw it high enough over our linebackers where only he could catch it. And sure enough, he caught it. But thankfully, he was on the white area of the turf, which is the out-of-bounds end line, as opposed to the green area of the turf, which is inside the end zone. So we definitely dodged a bullet, but our guys showed a lot of character, a lot of fight, a lot of resilience. But, you know, we lost the turnover battle, and both teams had way too many penalties. It was not a very well-played, clean game. There was some things that definitely need cleaning up heading into the next one.
One of the things that's interesting reading up on that win, overall this season, I think you guys are like plus 88 point differential in the second halves of games. What do you attribute to that? Is that adjustments that are really working? Is it kids getting comfortable as the game goes on? Is it just one of those things that it's hard to put a finger on? Like, do you have anything that to why you guys are so good in the second half?
Or is it choice D, all of the above? You know what I mean? So I'm listening to what you just said about, you know, all the reasons or potential reasons for it. And they asked me that question in the post-game press conference as well. It is hard to put a finger on. You know, one thing I did say after the game was, and I think our scout teams are doing a phenomenal job all year. We've been telling them that and, you know, mentioning that pretty much throughout the season. But no matter how well your scout team does in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday's practice, you're still going to have adjustments to how the opponent runs their scheme. They're going to run it better than your scout team. It's going to be at a little faster pace. They're also going to maybe tweak some things and maybe throw something at you that, you know, you didn't have during your week of preparation in the three practices. So I think it really is a combination of all of it. I didn't realize. I don't really look at how many points we score per quarter and point differentials and all that. So when they said that in the post-game press conference, that caught me a little bit by surprise. But bottom line is wherever the points are coming from, if they're coming more in the second half than they're in the first half and all that, I really don't care where they're coming from as long as at the end of the game we have more on our side of the scoreboard than our opponent. But I do think part of it is some of the adjustments our coaches make during the halftime when they see what the team is actually doing, because we've had some things on both sides of the ball. Some guys, when we face them on defense, you know, you're looking at, okay, they didn't show that particular blitz or they didn't show that alignment versus that formation or something like that. So there are always going to be some in-game adjustments, which I think our coaches have done a really good job doing at halftime. And then I think it's just the guys that are actually on the field playing getting used to how the opponent runs it at the speed they run it at. I used this analogy a long time ago. Dan McNeil was our defensive coordinator. We were playing Delaware when they were real heavy into the wing tee. They had over 300 yards in the first half and scored, I think it was 17 points or something. In the second half, we held them to 70 yards and no points. And everyone asked Coach McNeil, who was our D coordinator at the time, what'd you guys do? What adjustment did you make second half? He said, we didn't make any adjustments. Our guys just got used to playing against the way Delaware ran it at the time. So I think part of that is true as well, even, you know, playing the opponents we've been playing. But our coaches have done a great job. Our players catch up to the speed. And, you know, thankfully we've been able to, you know, do better in some of the second halves where we've needed to.
Now let's look ahead. Incarnate Word, I think they're the sixth seed. You guys are the 11. They're outstanding. I was looking at their numbers beforehand, averaging like 37 a game. Give up 22 a game, but I think it looked like they had five or six defensive touchdowns, so opportunistic. What do you see on film that makes them so good?
Yeah, exactly what you said. Their quarterback is elite. He played at Texas A&M, I believe, and then Auburn, and now he's at Incarnate Word. So he has played on the big stage, and he can make all the throws. He's a good-sized guy. I believe he's, you know, standing somewhere around 6'4", 200-plus pounds, and he can move. It's not like he's just a pocket passer, gets the ball out quick. They're big up front. They do rotate different backs. They had a bigger back earlier in the season. I think he's out now, so they have two other guys that are really small and really quick and can get through the open holes that the line makes. Really elite receiving core. Number six is probably the one that stands out the most. I believe he's a Hawaii transfer, if I'm not mistaken. You know, on paper, has elite speed, and on film looks that way. And they're big up front, just like everybody that we face these days. But their left side of the line, I think the left tackle's listed at 6'7", 320. I think the guard next to him is listed at, you know, 6'4", 6'2", or 3. 6'2", or 3, I believe it was, with 350 pounds. So a real thick guy who can pull and move his feet. And then on defense, as what you said, the linebackers are good. They fly to the football. They do some things up front with a lot of movements. So we got to have to be able to control and handle the movements They'll go a gap and two gaps, you know, with their upfront people, and then fill in with the linebackers and safeties behind them. And as you mentioned, they've done a good job turning the ball over and making plays when they do. So you're watching them on film. They have decent size on defense. They're not huge up front. You know, we face maybe some bigger guys, but they are very athletic. They run the football. Number 11 and 12 are the two linebackers. They seem to be like our two linebackers. You know, they're the ones that they're trying to free up to make a lot of the plays, and they're doing it. So, yeah, it's an explosive offense. We got to eliminate the explosive plays. We got to put pressure and get the quarterback off his spot and get him uncomfortable in the pocket when he's throwing it. Obviously, we got to cover down the field. And on the other side of the ball, like I said, we're going to have to handle their slants and angles and some of the things they do in the twist game to be able to either get the ball, you know, in the run game going, or give Connor an opportunity to get the ball downfield.
First time you'll play this program, second straight week here in the playoffs that you're facing a team for the first time. In what they run scheme-wise, are there any comparisons to any CAA squads, anybody that you can take your experience from how you played against Team X and it helps here because they're doing something similar?
Well, when you look at them offensively, I guess I would equate them to Monmouth, right? Monmouth was the leading offensive scoring team, probably right around the same points as what these guys have been doing. And their quarterback was very elite, at least in our game. He's the offensive player of the year in our league, Derek Robertson. So, you know, I guess from an offensive perspective, they have some similarities as to Monmouth as far as throwing the ball. Hopefully their quarterback won't go 22 for 23 with zero incompletions and one tip ball. So, you know, like I said, we got to get him uncomfortable and, you know, hopefully he'll throw a couple to us as opposed to completing every ball like Monmouth guy did. And then defensively, to be honest, you know, they list the four down, but they do get in some three down stuff. So they look a little bit like us at times. And same thing in their special teams. Coach Colangelo is our special teams coordinator. He and I are talking, and you're looking at what they do in return game and what they do in their kickoff coverage team and so on. They do some things similar to what we do. And as far as their kickoff return, New Hampshire and North Carolina A&T are very similar to what these guys do. So when you play this many games and you play against the number of opponents we have to this point in time, there's probably going to be some similarities that you have seen in a game or two prior to. But the bottom line is, you know, they're going to have their, you know, own little tweaks and own little things that they do and they do well. And, you know, as we always talk about, especially during our week of preparation, it's not what they're doing. It's what are we doing and how are we doing it? So we got to just make sure we play clean from our end and able to, you know, do well with our assignments and our schemes.